Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
All right, guys, here's part two of the WonderCon coverage episode. This episode contains a lot of talk from Manny and I about upcoming comics we're looking forward to, so go ahead and take a listen.
All right, well, I know that in the Valiant panel, they talked about a few books that were coming up, and one book that they talked about that's actually already out as far as the first issue, but one of the ones that has me the most excited is Ninjak.
Very excited to see Ninjak continue.
Ninjak, I wasn't necessarily too excited, but you know, after reading number one and just the way they're writing it with a little bit of backstory, and then also Roku, would you call her a henchman or what would you call her? But point is, you know, I really like her character, and it seems pretty original, so I was like, wow, this is going to be a really good book.
Yeah,
and what else has you excited that's coming up from Valiant?
Was it called Dead Drop?
Dead Drop, yeah.
That's going to be pretty good. And I think I mentioned a little bit earlier, but that whole Book of the Dead, that's going to be really good. And not to mention the upcoming issues of Divinity are going to probably be really good. It seems like the entire, you know, company is really excited over Divinity.
Yeah, if I could only read one Valiant book at this point, it would be very hard because I really want to know what's going to happen in Divinity. But again, Ninjak is just blowing me away.
Ninjak is good.
And then, of course, Bloodshot Reborn is also coming up.
That's going to be, with what happened at the end of the Valiant.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's going to be good.
Exactly. So, you know, it has me wondering, you know, it really has me wondering where it's going to go. Especially, you know, as they said in the panel, you know, Dinesh was saying that it's not the typical Bloodshot story. It's not really Bloodshot as we've seen him before. And being that Jeff Lemire's the writer, it has me very, very interested. Because from where one of the main characters at the end of the Valiant ends up, and she's in Bloodshot Reborn, so
I don't know what's going on. But then also when they revealed who's behind, you know, the Book of the Dead.
Yes.
You know, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so I gotta know what is going on.
Yeah. Very interesting.
They've got a lot going on, a lot of good stuff, and with being that Exo Manowar is one of the one that's gonna fall, and with his wedding like the month beforehand, I'm like, wait, what are you guys doing? And I'm a big fan of Harada, so we'll see what happens there.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, they have a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, and then also the other thing that raised an eyebrow was Dinesh saying that they're a lot farther along on their movie than most people think.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if the next big bit of news we get from Valiant is we've started filming on whatever it might be, whichever, Bloodshot or Shadow Man or whatever.
That could probably come on Comic-Con.
Could. Although, with all the noise of Comic-Con, I've noticed in recent years that, like, for example, I could use Valiant as an example. They actually made all their announcements the week before.
Oh, okay.
And if you notice, Marvel and DC didn't make that many big announcements at Comic-Con last year.
No, and Marvel's not going to be there this year. Marvel Entertainment or whatever.
A lot of people are under the misconception that Marvel's not going to be at Comic-Con. Marvel Comics will be at Comic-Con.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about.
They'll still have their giant booth. But yes, Marvel, as far as the movie division, is not going to have a panel, not going to have a presence. So does that mean that there won't be any of the Marvel, the actors that played Marvel heroes showing up to do signings at the actual Marvel booth? I kind of doubt it. I wouldn't be surprised if you see at least some of the people from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever show up and, you know, do a signing, but they're just not going to have that big panel in Hall H. And it does, that, again, it doesn't surprise me. Comic-Con, for me, it's gone past the tipping point for these big movie studios. You know, like I said, a lot of the comic companies aren't even making announcements at Comic-Con anymore because they feel like that their announcements get lost in the shuffle. Everybody's, you know, making all these big announcements.
Yeah, a lot of the interviews aren't even done at Comic-Con anyway. I mean, yeah.
Well, and the other thing was the year that Green Lantern came out, DC made that huge push at Comic-Con, and it made no difference. The movie still flopped.
Well, it wasn't very good.
Well, that prompted them to do some market research and do some other things. And what they learned was that the audience that goes to Comic-Con is not really the audience they need to promote the movies to. I mean, you think about it.
No.
People that go to Comic-Con are going to go see the superhero movies. Yeah,
regardless.
Whether they're promoted at Comic-Con or not. Mm-hmm. So they're better off spending their advertising dollars and their advertising budget and their time and energy in other places instead of Comic-Con.
That makes sense.
I mean, maybe they needed to in the beginning to kind of get the awareness out, but now that comics is kind of at the center of pop culture and it's become cool to be a nerd.
Yeah.
And now they can go out to the mainstream a little more and not worry so much. What about any other independent books coming out this summer that have you excited? What about, let's talk about Top Cow for a second. You know, this is the Top Cow Chronology Project.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They have,
Tithe.
I can never figure out how to pronounce that. Tithe was, it was an interesting concept when I thought about it. And then when they released those preview pages, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be really good.
Yeah, it either comes out this week or next week. I know it's one of the first 2 weeks of April.
Probably has to be next week because I haven't seen them post too much things about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be really good. And at some point, we're supposed to get some Think Tank.
Yeah, Think Tank hopefully before the end of the year. And Tithe coming up real soon. And Postal,
yeah.
Continues to be outstanding. Yeah. That's a book that has, like, immediately leapt up to the top of my reading pile. Like, I got to read that book, like, as soon as I get my hands on it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so good. It's one of those books where, much like Clone, I read it, and I get to the last page, and I'm like, no, I want more. I need double-sized issues.
Postal's good. I mean, it's... I don't know. There's nothing like it out there right now.
Yeah. A lot of it, if you have friends that are want to be comic readers or friends that you want to convert into comic readers or people that are your friends that like to read or just enjoy a good story but aren't comic readers and you want to get them interested in comics, this is the number one book I would recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, it is much like a TV show. In fact, I think there is a possibility that it will be a TV show down the line. But yeah, it's just a really great book. Kind of a crime, mystery crime, very dark, very noirish.
Yeah.
Just a really, really great book. And then, of course, Ninth Generation from Matt Hawkins right now is about to have a Hidden Files issue come out, I believe, tomorrow. And that's kind of if you're not familiar with the kind of the future of the Top Cow universe, the Aphrodite 9 side of the universe. This would be a great book to pick up and kind of learn about that part of the universe. Recently, we saw the end of the Darkness Bearer in the pages of Witchblade. And Matt Hawkins is also writing the Tales of Honor title for Top Cow. Rise of the Magi is going to have another issue come out real soon. Another very underrated title.
When does that come out?
That one's written by Mark Silvestri. I'm pretty sure there should be the next issue should come out either late this month or right at the beginning of May. But I'm pretty sure it's at the end of this month.
Okay, because that's one of those books that I read the first four issues and I was very upset that at the timing that the rest of them come out.
I think five came out now, right? Like the first four came out,
yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. And then there was a couple months off and then five came out.
and then now, and now we're still waiting again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I wish, I hope they don't lose too much momentum on that, because the last few have been delayed a little bit. But, you know, it's the comic industry for you. It's the struggle that some of these independent companies have. You know, they don't have a huge stable of artists that they can turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do discover a really great talent, like Top Cow did with Laura Braga, you know, she was the artist on Witchblade, and they were humming right along, and she was turning in great work. And then all of a sudden, she got recruited by Marvel, left Top Cow, kind of left them, you know, not in the best position.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, they're struggling to find an artist, you know, work on Witchblade, and, you know, it puts them behind.
Yeah.
And you can't blame Laura for taking a more higher profile gig and, you know, for more money, but, you know, it doesn't leave Top Cow in the best of positions. So any other independents that you have? I do have some news that I'm pretty sure you're not aware of that I'm going to spring on you, but let me ask you if there's anything else on the independent side of things that really you're looking forward to over these next few summer months.
No, not that I can think of.
What about the con job?
Well, that's already going on.
Yeah. And but, I mean, you're looking forward to the continuation, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm not even done with the second issue yet.
What?
No. I got through half of it, and I think I've just been... This whole week has been insane. I mean, it's been nonstop. It went from... we had a church function on Friday night right after work, and then it was WonderCon all day. Come back home to, you know, argue about my dog. And then on Sunday, it was go to the lake and to find out it was dry.
I could have told you that. You live in California.
And then that was devastating, by the way. Anyway, and then Monday, you know, I was helping my mom at the restaurant, followed by Marvel Universe Live, and then back to work. So there wasn't a lot of time to read.
Okay, well, as some of you may or may not know, I get most of my books either digitally or from DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. But there are a few books that I will go to my local comic shop and pick up on Wednesday for whatever reason. And I decided that I couldn't wait till the end of the month for my DCBS order to come so that I could read The Big Con Job 2.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the new city, the place I'm moving to, Phoenix, and while I've been there looking for a house, I've been checking out the local comic stores, trying to decide which one I liked best. I found this really cool place called Drawn to Comics. It's in Glendale. It's actually on Glendale Avenue. Glendale's a suburb of Phoenix, for those of you that don't know. It's in kind of an old storefront that has where the door is kind of in the middle, kind of sunken in, and then it's got like the two big store window display kind of things.
Classic.
Yeah. On one side is a life-size giant Silver Surfer statue.
Wow.
And he's like this, surfing. It's bad. Cool. Great store. One of those kind of stores where as soon as you walk in, it's owned by a husband and wife. Kurt and Susan, I believe. And you walk in, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. They introduce themselves. And,
oh, wow, nice.
You know, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I met you. I was here and here a few weeks ago. And they remembered me. Like, oh, Jason, right? I'm like, yeah. So we get to talking, and they're talking about the free comic book day, this and that. They open on Wednesdays at 9 a.m.
That's beautiful.
So people can get their books, you know, as soon as. So
9 a.m., you can go to work afterwards.
9 a.m. So I went in last Wednesday. I got, you know, I picked up Convergent Zero. I picked up Batman Eternal 52, and I picked up The Big Con Job number 2. Those are the books that I didn't want to wait. I read, I paid for my books. I went out to the car. I read Big Con Job in the parking lot. I couldn't wait. It was really, really good. So I'm really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to the rest of that series. And funny thing, we were talking about some of the guests at Big Wow Comic Fest that we'll be attending on the 18th of this month in San Jose. And one of the guests there, Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker from the Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling he's about 30 years away from being a character in the big con job. being that he's charging $30 for an autograph and another $30 to take your picture with him. And the guy, you don't even reckon, he was a kid when he played Anakin. Yeah. He doesn't look anything like that now.
Nothing.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of that series. And then I'm going to have to excuse my dog. He barks at the drop of a hat.
Okay, so wait, what is this information?
The news, okay.
That I didn't know about.
So I was talking to David Schulner on Twitter last night.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to read you exactly what he said because I don't want to get the quote wrong. Let me see if I can find what he said. So for those of you who are not familiar, David Schulner is the writer and creator of Clone, which is one of my favorite series, comic series, and very underrated, and from Skybound. So he said, you know, I had asked him recently when we could expect some Clone, and he said, as soon as we can write it, which sadly isn't soon enough, but you will see Clone on TV, in the theater, or comics soon.
Wow.
So, you know, Clone was optioned. It was one of four series optioned by the Sci-Fi Channel, and so they were competing to see which of the four, and they were going to do one, maybe two, of the four comic series as a TV show. And that was news that came out of Comic-Con 2013, I believe. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been.
And we haven't heard news about any four of the series. And David said he is going to be at Comic-Con this year also.
Oh, nice.
So hoping that there will be a official clone announcement at Comic-Con this year.
Yeah, so. Because where they left off just kind of left me barking at the walls because...
Yeah, and
not fair.
Clone is a must read. Skybound, Robert Kirkman's imprint, and you know, Kirkman is a great idea man, in my opinion. Not necessarily the best scripter, but he definitely comes up with some ideas that are really great, some really big ideas that translate well. And I think that's his main talent. I don't know that his talent necessarily lies in him actually scripting the book. Good at plotting, not necessarily so great at the actual, you know, laying out and dialogue and all that in of comic. But another thing that I think he's really good at, probably because he's so great at coming up with big ideas himself, is recognizing great ideas when other people present them to them.
Okay.
And Clone, for me, is a great idea. I would love to see a Clone movie, a Clone TV series, and I definitely want more Clone comics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have noticed that the artist, Juan Jose Rip, has been doing... He did some covers work for Valiant, and then most recently, he's actually done some covers for DC. So I'm hoping that he's just doing that to keep himself busy, and he's still going to be on Clone. Because I have to admit, I didn't care for his art. It took a little bit to get used to.
I think I told you that when I started reading it.
Yeah, but now that I've kind of gotten used to it, the intensity of the facial expressions and the way he uses little dots for shading, I don't know that I would want another artist on the book. You know what I mean? Like I would hate to have it be somebody whose lines weren't quite so clean, more of a sketchy style. I don't think that would suit the book as well. So yeah, that's some good news, and hopefully we can see some more Clone coming up pretty soon. And now on to the big two. Anything have you super excited? We know that for the month of April, this current month that we're in, and the month of May, DC has suspended its regular titles for the Convergence event. So we're going to see 42-issue miniseries before we see the regular series' return in June. I believe it'll be 24 of the regular series will return, or 23. And then we have 24 new series starting, of which I think only 20 or 21 of them are actually starting in June. I think three or four of them got pushed back to July, which it seems like, can't believe they've already had to push four of them back. I mean, they pushed them back before they were ever solicited, so it's not like they're going to be shipping late, but considering how much lead time they had.
Yeah, you would have thought they'd be ready by now.
But at the same time, they're also moving from New York to LA.
Yeah, that's
moving a giant corporation from one coast to the other is a massive undertaking. Yeah. I mean, I'm just moving from Central California to Phoenix, and I'm completely overwhelmed. So I can't imagine
what
they're going through.
Company.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not as excited as I thought I'd be for DC books in the upcoming months. I'm a whole lot more excited for what's going on in Valiant, which you already talked about, because, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday, you know, just kind of reflecting, but, you know, I still need to see what's going on with Batman.
Yeah, they pushed issue 40 back.
You know, it's weird because we're going to go through Convergence, and, you know, halfway through is when we're going to get Batman, when everything else is done already. I mean, yeah. We still don't have also that Justice League Darkseid War preview that we were supposed to get this in April.
Yeah.
So it just seems like, you know, they kind of lost that suspenseful momentum that you had for the final confrontation between the Joker and Batman. And, you know, it, to me, it lost a little bit of steam with me. And, it, you know, and then with the previews of that, you know, robot.
With the bunny ears.
With the bunny ears. You know, it's kind of, you know, pushed me back a little bit too. And then also Cullen Bunn talking about, you know, he's taking Aquaman in a different direction. You know, I'm quite happy with the direction that, you know, Aquaman had been going with Geoff Johns and then with Jeff Parker. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, and those are some of my favorite titles, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Here's that page of Flash I was talking about.
Wow, that's amazing.
He's running and then you see the panels, how they
go
like this and go like that.
That is really good.
And you're not too excited about any of the new books?
You know, Cyborg's one of them. Just because, you know, it's about time that he got some time in the light. But some of the books just seem a little, I don't know, flat. Like the whole thing with the Doomsday one whatever it's called.
Doomed.
Yeah. And then, you know, having two Justice League books is just kind of strange. You know, Justice League of America and then you're going to have Justice League.
Well, they had that already. And then one of them became Justice League United.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of, you know.
But they had different characters.
Different characters as well.
These are, yeah. So basically, the one Brian Hitch is doing has kind of fuzzy continuity. Like, you can fit it in where you can fit it in.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, that's what I always criticize Marvel for. I mean, they have like I don't know how many Avengers books.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, it's true.
And then, I mean, I understand that, you know, I'm not supposed to like every book. You know, Harley Quinn's still going to be Harley Quinn. That's going to...
Yeah, aren't you excited about the Harley Quinn Power Girl?
I mean,
I guess that's only a 6-issue.
Yeah, but that's just like a special, you know, version of what I'm already reading, which is cool because I really want to know what the heck happened in those worlds. But other than that, I can't really say I'm too excited. And then, obviously, I don't really read a lot of Marvel. So, you know, besides Ant-Man's been phenomenal.
I really like it.
It's
interesting
Ant-Man.
What Marvel's doing. I mean, they're pretty much canceling all their books. I mean, much like DC's put their books on hold.
Yeah.
But the difference is, and I really feel for the retailers because it's already hard enough to decide how many of each miniseries you order on a regular basis when they do come out with these miniseries. Because, you know, like, you look at a title like Batman or Superman or Justice League, you know, you have a certain number of people who have a pull list for that. And so then, you know, you have a ballpark and you order a few more, so you have some on the rack and you're okay. On a miniseries, it's much harder because, like, say a 4-issue miniseries, by the time you have some hard numbers on how many you sell of your number one, you've already ordered 2 and 3.
So you
only get to use that actual evidence on number 4. And now DC's putting out 40 miniseries of only 2 issues.
Well, I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but to listen to other podcasts, DC is actually letting you return books.
Yeah, but there are restrictions to that. And also, then you deal with the hassle of returns.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that they are allowing them to be returnable, but it's still, you're still putting money out with no idea how well these books are going to sell and no income from the regular DC books that you normally sell to help you. And that's DC. It's, if you look at the Marvel side, it's much, much worse because the Secret War thing is going on for 4 months.
Yeah, that's a
4 months. That means you have, I mean, and nobody knows, nobody at this point knows, except for the Marvel people, what exactly the Marvel universe is going to look like and what the Marvel line of books is going to be. The rampant speculation is that come August or September, we're going to see a new 52-like relaunch of every Marvel title. Most retailers speculating that it will be a much more cohesive and more well thought out, let's say, line of books rather than DC. I mean, DC kind of, you know, they had some good books and then they had a bunch of other ideas where they just seemed to be saying, let's throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like Static Shock and Demon Knights and Our Men at War and all these other titles that really, you know, I applaud DC for trying some new ideas, but they really never had a chance to succeed. I don't think Marvel will make that same type of mistake. But for them to have these series, and they haven't come out and said some of them are miniseries, like Planet Hulk says it's an ongoing. How can you have more than 4 or 5 issues of a book called Planet Hulk that's set in that time period?
Yeah, that I don't think that works. That just sounds like a miniseries.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have many others like that, like the X-Men Years of Future Past or whatever it is. I mean, again, how you really going to tell me that you're going to run an ongoing series that's going to last 25 or 50 issues about that post-apocalyptic X-Men world? No, we all know it's a miniseries,
yeah,
regardless of what you say. But here you are expecting all these retailers to order all these different miniseries that you're putting out with no hard evidence. And again, no regular books, no Amazing Spider-Man, no Guardians of the Galaxy to back it up.
True. You know?
I mean, yeah, and it's going on for 4 months. And don't get me wrong, a lot of the retailers are excited because of how well they did in sales of the New 52 when it first started. And Marvel seems to be a company that, for whatever reason, is more popular. I don't know if it's because their movies are so much better or what exactly the reason is, but it
I think it's because they're backed by Disney and they have movies. So,
well, for whatever reason, their books seem to be more in the mainstream than DC. And so, you know, those retailers are probably looking, man, I hope it's a new DC like relaunch that's going to have all these number ones because we will just clean up.
You'll see a little bit of a change, I think, in the upcoming years because, I mean, a lot of people compare DC movies with Marvel movies and how they're doing. But, I mean, it's because DC hasn't really done anything. And, I mean, just besides Batman, I mean, what else have they done? You know, they just relaunched Superman. And, you know, they introduced Arrow. And you see how popular that got. Flash, now that's gaining so much steam also.
It does seem like DC has a better handle on the TV side of things and Marvel has a better handle on the cinematic side of things. But I'm talking about the actual books.
No, I know, but I mean, I think it goes hand in hand because of how quote unquote mainstream it is now.
You know, I don't know that you could say that because Marvel has been kicking DC's butt since 1960.
Okay, yeah, that is true. I mean, most of the books in the earlier 90s, I mean, what were they? A lot of X-Men book, right? That were.
Yeah, but I mean, consistently since they've come onto the scene with superhero comics, with Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and all that, for the longest time, you know, once they passed DC, they've pretty much always been ahead of DC except for the odd month here or there. But if you look at a year in, year out...
No, it is Marvel.
For whatever reason, Marvel always outsells DC, sometimes by a lot. But, I mean, so from a retailer perspective, you say, okay, I make more money at Marvel books because I sell more Marvel books. So if Marvel is going to do this DC New 52 style relaunch, I'm looking to clean up. So I can't wait to get to that point. Mm-hmm. But I just think that Marvel is making it so much harder on the retailers by having this 4-month quagmire of books and who knows what's going to happen with this and that. And their stuff, a lot of their stuff's returnable too. But again, you know, you gotta, this book's only returnable if you order more than you did of the previous one. And there's all these hoops to jump through and you have to order a certain amount. And man, I would not want to be a retailer this summer.
It's going to be a little bit difficult, yeah.
And I don't even, I mean, I had a retailer tell me recently that they didn't know how to explain Convergence, but they had no trouble explaining Secret War. To me, Convergence, I mean, I understand that it could be a little bit confusing, but I have a much greater understanding of that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand what Secret War is. Okay, so there's these incursions where different time periods and different timelines of the Marvel Universe are clashing together. And one kind of takes over the other. And then, so all the universes and alternate realities of the Marvel Universe are kind of mashed into one. And that one is Battle World, basically.
Yeah.
And so Battle World consists of all these different little parts of Marvel time and events. So I kind of understand that. Kinda. But what I don't understand is, okay, so then where did the miniseries come in? So, I mean, let's say I pick up the Planet Hulk miniseries. Am I just reading about the world and the storyline and the lineup of Planet Hulk as it exists in the Battle World? Or is it, does it interact with other timelines and such that are mashed together around it? Like, that's what I'm unclear on. And some of them are 4-issue and some of them are 6-issue. And I have absolutely no idea what to expect coming out of it.
Yeah, and it's 4 months long.
And it's 4 months long. And I really wouldn't know where to start to go back if I wanted to know how we got to this point.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, apparently Jonathan Hickman has been working toward this Secret War event ever since he started at Marvel. And that was over 2 years ago.
Yeah, that I heard
so,
that too.
For somebody like me who kind of got fed up and sick of Marvel constantly relaunching with all these number ones and having 6 different Iron Man titles when the Iron Man movies were super popular. Now that the Avengers are super popular, they have half a dozen or a full dozen Avengers books.
The all new, all different.
All new, all different, secret,
uncanny.
Uncanny, yeah. Young, amazing Avengers. And that's like, I wouldn't know where to start. And so I haven't been necessarily keeping up with Marvel. And so if I wanted to go back and say, okay, I want to know exactly how this happened and where it came from and read all the necessary stories leading up to Secret Wars, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, that's true.
And if I have to read 2.5 years worth of books in order to understand the whole story, you know, I'm not just not willing to go back and read that many different books.
Yeah, it seems quite actually a bit more confusing than Convergence does, because at least Convergence, you can, you know, even the more novice comic book fan, you can go, well, you remember when Superman died? Yeah. Well, you remember when this happened? Oh yeah, I heard about that. It's like, okay, well, each one of those worlds, so you've heard of Brainiac, and I mean Brainiac in cartoons and in, you know, movies, you know, you understand, you know, what he's done with worlds, you know, if you're at all familiar with DC, you can kind of understand what's going on. And it's like, well, they pretty much, he's taking, you know, that world, and he's putting them together and see what happens. So he's like, oh, okay, well, that's easy enough. So, you know, it might be a little bit easier. It might seem, well, since it's 2 months long, it doesn't seem like such a chore, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
To get through it. As Secret Wars is just like, I mean, there's just so much to, I mean, I looked through the list to see what I was going to read, and I just decided not to do any of it. I mean, not even, I was thinking of getting a couple of the X-Men ones, but I mean, I said, forget it. I'm not going to do any of it.
You know, I kind of feel the same way. I haven't completely made up my mind, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know that I want to understand how it got to that point.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Before I invest my time. And it's like, it's cool in a way that Hickman has been planning this for so long. Because if you are a Marvel reader, you know, really into Marvel, a Marvel zombie, if you will, and you've been keeping up and you read, then you kind of can go back and go, yeah, well, I remember when he did this and did that, and it all connects together. But for somebody like me, who hasn't really been keeping up with Marvel, like I said, to have to go back and read all that, you know, now if when Hickman had first started at Marvel, if they had said, Jonathan Hickman is planning the biggest event in Marvel history, be sure you keep up with what he's doing, then maybe I would have.
Be a little bit more invested, yeah.
Or at least I would have checked in from time to time.
You know, and it's quite interesting because I was reading an article earlier today about the X-Men and their role in the Marvel Universe right now. Because the article talked about a conspiracy between, I'm pretty sure you've heard it, between Disney and Marvel to kind of shun X-Men out of the limelight. So, you know, and kind of even in a way replacing them with Inhumans.
Yep, that rumor, it's been going around for quite a while. You know, Marvel does not have the rights to the X-Men as far as the cinematic use of them, nor do they have the rights to the Fantastic Four. So for that reason, it's gotten to the point where even toys that were pretty far down the line to be produced of some Fantastic Four and some X-Men figures were pulled.
Yeah.
Almost at the last minute. Because basically Marvel, the bigwigs at Marvel or Disney or what have you, don't want to do anything, any promotion of properties that could possibly help their competition. So they're not going to put out any X-Men toys or any Fantastic Four toys or do any promotional posters or give any push to those properties that they don't have cinematic control of, because they feel that it's to increase the popularity of those properties would be to inadvertently help those movie studios putting out those movies.
Yeah, and for that same reason, they haven't created any new characters for X-Men.
Nope.
And if you look at what they're pushing for Secret Wars, it's stories from the past. And they've even killed off Wolverine.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really sad because, you know, X-Men, for me, was Marvel in the 90s growing up watching those cartoons.
That's
having the trading cards and things like that.
That's true for a lot of people.
You know, so, you know, it's really selfish of them and, you know.
Well, it isn't. I mean, anybody who's a big fan of the Marvel movies would clearly want those properties to be back under the Marvel umbrella. They do such a great job. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me that if Amazing Spider-Man 2 hadn't tanked so bad, that Spider-Man would be back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, that's true. But until, you know, we'll see what they do with it. Because,
I mean, the X-Men movies have done well, so I don't know that
Fox... Some of those have been terrible, though. I really feel that.
The Days of Future Past movie wasn't any good?
No, Days of Future Past was great. The one I had a problem with was Wolverine, his first movie.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one was bad. I didn't see it.
No,
but First Class was good also.
First Class, it was fine. And then, I mean...
On the other hand, they have yet to make a good Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, no, they've
all been terrible. And this new one looks god-awful, too.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times the movies people say are terrible, they end up being good, but in this case, I just don't see it. You know, but it's one of those wait and see. And honestly, I don't even know if I can go watch Fantastic Four in theaters because it's one of those that I might just wait and stream it or...
I'm of two minds about it. I want to go see it because I want to see the train wreck, but I don't want to give them any money for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By going to see it, I'm at, you know, helping them out, and I don't want to help them out whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I guess I need a free ticket or to get a free pass or something. But yeah, I've heard that rumor. I've heard that that's why Marvel put Charles Soule on the Inhumans. They're grooming the Inhumans to kind of take over. And yeah, when this new universe starts, when they do this new 52 like reboot of the Marvel universe, that the X-Men won't be in it.
You see, and that's a problem.
It would be very interesting to see. You know, yes and no. because I understand they are a huge part, but it's not like they'll never come back. And it would be interesting to see what the Marvel Universe would look like without the X-Men. They've become such a huge part of the universe. I mean, like you said, I mean, Wolverine is dead, and at one time, Wolverine was probably in 20 books a month.
Yeah, I saw all the covers.
Just ridiculous how much, you know, like you said, in the late 90s, the guy was in everything.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So, yeah, I can't really say there's anything from Marvel coming out that I'm looking forward to. There are a few of the new titles coming out from DC that I'm looking for, and a few of the returning titles. Like I mentioned, Flash. They still have the same creative team that I love. I'm very interested to see the Green Lantern book come out now that Hal Jordan's gone Renegade.
Yeah,
the Green Lantern Lost Army that Cullen Bunn talked to us about at WonderCon, being that they're in a different universe.
Oh, by the way, I'm dropping Suicide Squad and Teen Titans.
Oh, fair enough.
I am so sick of Suicide Squad and their shenanigans.
I'm gonna give it one or two issues after June starts. I'll let you know if it gets better.
There's other things I want to be reading, and it's not Suicide Squad, just because I'm just frustrated. ever since post Forever Evil, it's just been frustrating. I mean, they tried adding Deathstroke, and to me that didn't work. I thought adding Joker's daughter was going to be interesting. That didn't work, and in the end, it was just more like a cameo. So, you know, I'm dropping both of those, and I do wish there was something X-Men I can read. That would be nice, but you know, they were happy enough to put out that Fantastic Four issue, the one they brought back the original number four.
Yeah, the last final issue of Fantastic Four. I think it comes out this week. Yeah, Flash. Did I tell you that issue 40, the last page was Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash? So we expect to see they had a Reverse Flash already.
Yeah.
But he wasn't Reverse Flash. This is the Reverse Flash.
Well, I wasn't there yet, but thank you.
Making his return. And, well, you're going to find out because he's all over the place. And Justice League of America by Brian Hitch, I'm a little interested in. One title I wasn't interested in at all until I talked to Dan Juergens was Batmite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he really sold me on Batmite. I may just have to pick up.
I'm doing it. I'm going to be reading that with my daughter, so.
And then same thing, Batman Beyond.
That you didn't even have to sell that to me. That, you know.
Dr. Fate, I was already interested in, you know, Paul Levitz.
Yeah, I'm picking up Dr. Fate.
Earth 2 Society 1, I hadn't even really thought one way or the other about that one, but after seeing the way that Earth 2 World's End ended, I'm very curious to at least pick up first issue or, you know, one or two issues of that. As I said, Green Lantern, Lost Army, Cullen Bunn.
Talking about Green Lantern, did you hear about the announcement of the Green Lantern Star Trek?
Yeah. IDW crossover.
Crossover. Yeah. That's going to be weird, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, and then Tom King, his excitement about Omega Man, if I already wasn't going to pick it up based on the strength of Tom King's writing, just hearing him talk about Omega Man at WonderCon would have me... he basically called it Al-Qaeda in space. With crazy technology.
Huh. I may have to update my pull list. I haven't turned it in yet. Aquaman, I am very skeptical about. But you know what?
Cullen Bunn's a pretty good writer.
Yeah, but like I said, it's not necessarily anything against him. It's just, you know.
It's not Geoff Johns or Jeff
Parker. He has big shoes to fill. Because I felt the same way about Jeff Parker after Geoff Johns. And, you know, I was like, all right, man, you really made this work. You know, he had nice cameos in there, you know, Martian Manhunter, Gorilla Grodd. And then he also had, he also made Mira a little bit more important to Aquaman. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. But the whole book was great. The artwork was amazing. The colors, everything. It's by far my favorite DC book.
Better than Batman?
Yeah, better than Batman. Wow. And I'm going to say that because I don't know what Scott Snyder is doing right now. And it's got me really worried.
I have to say that I'm pretty excited to see Batman 41. Well, I shouldn't say excited. I'm very curious to see what Batman 41 holds, just because I really want to know who's... I don't think it's Bruce Wayne in that armor.
I don't either. I mean, whether it's Eternal or whether it's, Batman from Batman, you know, he's beat up. He's gone through a lot, so.
It wouldn't surprise me to have seen him, like I said, go get sent back in time to kind of figure out the whole Joker thing. Maybe he's got to go back to the past to stop the Joker.
Maybe. I don't know. That just seems...
And it's Julia.
So what?
Booster? It's Penny 2.
Could be. That can easily be. Maybe it's just Alfred.
Maybe. Also, Grayson. The Return of Grayson. The best book DC's putting out. Flash. Like I said, Flash 41. Return of the original Reverse Flash. Green Lantern 41 with the Hal Jordan Renegade storyline. So, yeah, quite a few DC books that I'm looking forward to. And, you know, I'm sure once Marvel actually makes their announcement and we kind of have an idea that there'll be plenty of Marvel books coming out later this summer that I'll be looking forward to. It wouldn't surprise me if that's Marvel's big announcement.
My favorite Marvel book is Ant-Man.
San Diego.
Ant-Man was surprisingly good.
You know, I read a couple issues, it was okay. It didn't really... It's a fun book.
No, that's... Just yeah. Not,
it just wasn't really what I'm looking for. But yeah.
I don't know. Are you keeping up with Superior Iron Man? Because that's pretty good.
No, you know, I have like the first five or six issues, but I haven't read any of them yet.
I was really against Teen Abomination, but he kind of... He works.
He won you over.
He doesn't really won me over. He just, you know, right place, right time. It works. So, but... You know, it's Tony Stark at his, you know, with his ego as big as it possibly can get with no control. So, you know, it's fun. And it seems like the only person who's going to be able to stop him is Pepper.
Yep.
So, I guess those are the two Marvel titles that I'm really digging. And the Star Wars ones, I don't know, they're kind of lulling me, you know. Darth Vader.
I didn't even think about the Star Wars ones.
Darth Vader, you know, is the last issue picked up quite a bit. I like the introduction of the new character.
Yeah, I agree.
Princess Leia actually has been pretty solid. I really have enjoyed those.
What is it? Two issues out now? Yeah. I haven't cared.
I've enjoyed it.
I don't think I'm even going to get three.
I've enjoyed it more than the main Star Wars series.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say for me, the main Star Wars series is the one that started out the strongest. But it hasn't gotten any better.
It hasn't gotten anywhere. Yeah.
And Darth Vader for me started off pretty bad. I did not care for that first issue at all. And it's gotten... The second issue was better. The third issue even better. Maybe almost to where the third issue is now at that same level as the regular title. But yeah, Princess Leia title didn't do it for me. I'm not even going to be picking up the issue 3. And I haven't read... I've read like one page of the... Kanan, the Last Padawan.
Oh, I haven't even picked that up. A friend of mine was asking me about it. And
well, I guess he's a character from the Clone,
yeah,
the Rebels TV show, yeah, which I've never seen at all either. So, yeah.
Yeah, so no, Darth Vader was, you know, I liked the first one. Second one, I was just upset. Well, you know how upset I was. You know,
yeah.
just mad. And the third one, I was like, okay, it's pretty good. But, you know, it's all about the movies with those. Because you can only do so much with them because they're in the past. You know, you can't change canon. You know, there's not a lot of surprises.
Man, Star Wars canon, there's articles and articles and articles you can read about Star Wars canon and the way it works. It's pretty interesting, so.
It's just a lot. I like the evil droids that they're doing in Darth Vader. That's really cool.
Yep.
But all in all, it's going to be a busy comic book summer. With
it's going to be...
Yeah, you got Free Comic Book Day and Age of Ultron on the same weekend.
Yep.
Fantastic Four. It's not necessarily comic book, but Jurassic Park's coming out. The next one's coming out. And then there's going to be a Batman Superman trailer in Mad Max.
Yeah, and Mad Max. That's going to attract a lot of comic readers.
So, if I don't really care for Mad Max, but now that there's a trailer involved for Batman Superman,
you're gonna go see it.
Yeah, it's just like for Dark Knight, they had a special trailer release for like a 5-6 minute trailer for The Dark Knight Returns. I went to go see I Am Legend just for that. I didn't really care for.
Yeah, and you know, one thing we neglected to mention, each number two issue of Convergence is going to have an original 8-page preview.
Oh, true.
Of one of the DC books coming out in June. I'm not sure if it's going to be a preview of every single title or only the new titles, but
it has to be the new titles.
Those are going to, well, it could be every, because a lot of the regular titles are having a lot of changes going on.
Yeah,
like they Superman are. And
Wonder Woman
with the new costume. So that'll be interesting to see. But it's going to be important to some of the stories, I believe, because those little 8-page stories are kind of going to kind of bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tom King even mentioned that like to kind of help understand what's going on with Kyle Rayner as far as where he is at the end of Green Lantern New Guardians to where he will be at the beginning of Omega Man number one, you kind of need to know or have read that 8-page preview. So that's going to do it for this little wrap up of WonderCon and look toward the future. We should mention the conventions that either I or Manny are planning on attending coming up this summer. As I mentioned earlier, we're both planning on being at the Big Wow Comic Fest in San Jose, California on the weekend of April the 18th and 19th. We should be there most likely just on Saturday the 18th, and we'll be joined by our other co-host, Jaden. And then coming up toward the end of May, I and Jaden will be at the Phoenix Comic-Con in Phoenix, Arizona. And, of course, the big show in July, San Diego Comic-Con. Jaden and I both plan on attending. And then coming up in September, I know Manny will be at the Long Beach Comic-Con in Long Beach, California. I'm not sure if I'm going to be attending that show. It's just a little too early for me to tell with the move. And there's also Kamikaze coming up later in the year.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to. It's more that I've heard from what you told me, it's more of a pop culture show, but I am going to try to make it to that one.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I haven't been, but I'm thinking that maybe I might try to make that one this year. So if you're at a show or you're planning on attending any of the shows that we mentioned, be sure to reach out to us and let us know that you're going to be there. We'd love to meet you, take a picture, give you a shout out on the show. So in the meantime, keep reading your comics. If you have some recommendations of things we should be reading, we'd love to hear from you. Remember, you can get in touch with us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Or you can go to our blog, thecomicsourceblog.com. And you can check out my videos there from my YouTube channel. You can read Manny's blog. You can check out the sketch gallery. You can access all these wonderful podcasts. Or you can contact us directly through the website. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns, any reason at all to drop us a line, we'd love to hear from you. So join us next time when we get back to the podcast chronology proper. And probably on the episode following that will be the WonderCon Files interviews. We'll talk to you then.